Okay, let's get into Parshas Pinchas, Tavshin Pei Dalet, as we continue here in Sefer Bamidbar, and we learn the story of Pinchas really at the end of last week's Parsha, Parshas Balak, but what Pinchas did. We've spoken in the past that this week's Parsha just starts off with the reaction, not exactly what Pinchas did, but the reaction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Parsha starts off, Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemar, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heishev es Chamasi me'al bnei Yisrael. Pinchas turned away my anger. The terrible chil Hashem that was taking place, Pinchas was able to be mekadei shem shamayim, give HaKadosh Baruch Hu nachas. We've touched on in the past why we mentioned this pasuk at the beginning of every bris milah. What does Pinchas have to do with the bris milah? It's connected to a little bit the Yonas HaMen Uziel, which we're going to talk about right at the beginning of the parasha. So if you look in source number one, in the beginning, Targum Yonatan ben Uziel is quoted. Again, the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel is not the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Megillah that we don't have the Targum Yonatan ben Uziel on Torah, but we call it. It's one of the early Targumim. So the Targum tells us that Lochein inenei nosein lo esbrisi shalom, this promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes to Pinchas, that he's going to give him a covenant of peace, that means he's going to live forever. Esbrisi shalom. Hivtiach lo bazeh sheyehafeich lamalach, Pinchas will be turned into, so to speak, a malach, v'yichye la'olam, k'dei sheyuchal levaser al ha'geula ba'achris hayamim. Right, relating to Eliyahu HaNavi, he has that ability. Again, Eliyahu HaNavi never died. He went up to Shemayah. We quoted the Chassam Sofer's Shuv in the past that Eliyahu HaNavi now sometimes comes down in the flesh, sometimes comes down in his neshama. But this is the Lashon. Ha'ana yav le'yas kiyam ishlam. I will give you, on the fourth line, my covenant of peace. V'avdine malach kayam. I will make you a malach forever. V'yeche la'alma. And you will live la'alma l'mevasra gulasa b'sof yamaya. Right? And that's the connection that we have of Pinchas and Eliyahu. And the question is, what was it that Pinchas did here? Again, many people acted for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different contexts. V'yesh l'hav and asked the Eila Dvarim, Rav Schlesinger. V'yesh l'hav in l'ma zacha Pinchas l'kach. What was Pinchas? Why was he zoche? U'ma haya ha'miyuchad b'Pinchas she'zacha lios mevasra ge'ula. What is it about Pinchas that he was zoche to be mevaser, to be the announcer? Again, the last nevuah that we have from Malachi, the last nevuah, Hinei Anochi Shaleich Lechem Es Eliyahu HaNavi Lefnei Gadol Yom Hashem HaGadol VaNora. So the last message that we have signing off, the last Navi is like the next Navi is going to announce the Geula. So that's going to be the connection. It's just a long break between Malachi and Eliyahu HaNavi. But so what is it? So explains the Eila Advarim. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Sha'al Shmo Nikrais Parsha Seinu, Bitza Shtei Pu'ulos Miyuchados V'Chashivos Bioter. He performed two important actions. Bishvil Am Yisrael, Ba'amdam Al Safa Knisa L'Eretz Yisrael. He did two things. What were the things that he did? Two things. Number one, Bishash HaSakanas Hisbolulus Im Moav U'Benosav, Ha'isanish Kefes La'am Yisrael. When, at the time, when there was the danger of Hisbolulus and getting mixed in and assimilation happening to the Jewish people, va'as at the end of last week's parsha, va'as in ha'uma haya nasun b'sakanash akliya ruchanit, the spiritual danger that we were facing at that point, Pinchas got up and he removed the chil Hashem. He removed the spiritual danger. Right? That's what Bilam, if you remember last week, decided. He recognized that the only way to get the Jewish people is through spiritual ways, through destroying their neshamas. If he couldn't get to their guf because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was protecting them, destroying their neshamas, he stood up and he did. Pu'ulan no ezes u'musukenes kazos. Kivnas am Yisrael la'afik ratzui. V'atar me'idalav. Right? Heishiv es chamasi me'al p'nei Yisrael. Number one, he got rid of the spiritual danger. Number two, line 15. Pinchas amad berosh hatzava shenishlach laroch pulas nekem nege binyanim. And we also know that later on, right, who did Moshe send? Pinchas to finish the job. Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'isa midyanim, and he was able to conquer. So both the physical and the spiritual danger, so that is, obviously he's an all-around leader. All-around leader to help conquer, and he says, Achrei shtia pulos eila, on line 19, Pinchas bezoche, l'chala deyas ha-kuhuna, ka'avtachas ha-kadosh baruch. Fine. But there's another day. There's another day in the Gemara in Zvachim, Kuf Aleph, towards the end of Masechet Zvachim. The Gemara quotes those 2 days. When was Pinchas Niskahein? When did he get the kahuna? After he performed these amazing acts of leadership. The first couple of thoughts today, by the way, will be about leadership. But Rav Ashi has a different opinion. Rav Ashi says that Pinchas was not zoche to his stature and position until much later. Lo niskayin Pinchas, according to the Gemara in Zvachim, line 22, atchesam shalom bein hashvatim. Until he made peace within the shvatim. When is that? That's all the way at the end of Sefer Yehoshua. Then of Sefer Yehoshua, there was a chash of a civil war. V'zei b'zman Yehoshua kasher shevet b'nei Godim b'nei Ruvain. Remember, Yeshua had sent back b'nei Godim b'nei Ruvain to the east side of the Jordan because they did what they were supposed to do. They fulfilled their charge that's talked about next week's parsha, Parsha's Matos, where they said, we're going to fight or we're going to wait till conquer. Then they went back after the 14 years. And then, if you remember the story, they set up this huge Mizbeach and Klal Yisrael didn't know what was going to be. Did they forget? And there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. And the other Shvatim wanted to go fight them. So what happened? They sent Pinchas. Pinchas was the peace negotiator. L'daber imam. Vayishma Pinchas HaKohen Unisiho Edo V'Rashi Alfei Yisrael. And he brought them together. B'chol makom atamotzi Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Ein kuhuna ksuva ela be'elazar. V'kan ksuva be'Pinchas. The Gemara says. Why? Why is it lo lezar acharav? So the Gemara says that maybe he didn't achieve the status until much later. The question is, what's the pshat of Rav Ashi? Pinchas in our parsha, he saved Klal Yisrael spiritually and physically. And there, he just went to talk to them, to bring him back. Explains here the Eila HaDvarim. To be a leader in Klal Yisrael, you have to be a leader both in wartime and in peacetime. To be one or the other, that's a great, but that's not the complete picture. Amnam besad ekrav yisorech bahar begvura nafshis. There's amazing gvura that's needed. Va'oz ruach de levatzia pula tzvait ba'atzvacha. Ulama metzias ochicha. But the reality proves and reflects. Shelo kol mishe matzliach b'tavkido ha'tzvai kamu yochol shamish kemanik b'tavkido ha'ezrachi. Sometimes you find, you know, military leaders that go into politics. Doesn't always work out. Or, there's zelachud v'zelachud. Like we know, not exactly the separation of church and state, but there's different leaders in different areas. V'kama v'kama po'amim ra'inu eich matzbiim tzvayim gdolim u'dugulim shochich wazos kocham in the gvura ala b'chayim ezrachim hasri chasri savlanut. Right? You have to, there's different venues of leader. And there's a certain reality and pressure on the battlefield and off the battlefield. And one has to really be very different, you know, personalities based on what's needed. You know, even, the soldiers, there's one personality that you need in life as a civilian, and there's another personality that you need to fight properly and defend Am Yisrael. So Pinchas, says Rav Ashi, Pinchas was able to succeed and be a leader in all areas. That was his galus. Not just, again, the first opinion is that he saved us at times of danger, both physical and spiritual danger. But Rav Ashi's opinion is that what makes him roi is that he's a leader in all areas. He's a leader in all areas. Towards the bottom now. Pinchas itztayen ka'amur b'tur gibar milchama, aval adayin lo achiyach az atzmo. He didn't still prove himself kigibar gam b'chayim ezrachiyim. Got to be a leader elsewhere also. So only then, when he came back, years later, after they went into Eretz Yisrael, 14, 15 years later, that's when he proved himself, and according to Rav Ashi, that's when he got the bris kuhunas olam, when he proved himself all over. And again, the message for us is that leaders have to be leaders everywhere. You know, one might say even in one's personal life. We might be a leader in shul, but we also have to be a leader in our homes. Right, those are also two different types of leadership that require different midos, that require different ways of connection between one's children and one's congregants and one's friends and one's students. So leadership requires to wear different hats at different times, and you know one has to know exactly how to put them on in each time. And that's what he says. Turning the page, he just ends off by saying, "Adam sheyachol lifol b'savlanus." Somebody who has the patience to know, not just to fight, but to also to bring peace, to know how to lead. One might even say, just thinking, even in one's house, you know, how to teach and how to play. That also is two types of leadership, playing with our children and our grandchildren and teaching our children and our grandchildren. To put on a little bit of different, they tell a story, I think it was about one of the Belzer Rebbes, that one time his father, you know, he went to this one-room school in whatever, you know, shtetl it was, and his father was his Rebbe because it was a one-room school, and his father was the Rebbe of the town. So he went, and his father was, strict and demanding. So he said one time one of the Belzer Rebbes, when they were in trial, came home and spoke to his father, and he says, "Daddy, can I speak to you about something?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Could you please speak to my Rebbe? And, please tell him to loosen up a little bit. And tell him it's a little too much. You got to be a Rebbe and you got to be a father. You got to be a little of both sometimes." Okay. First idea related to leadership. Leadership has to be flexible and recognize the different context that one is in. The next point about leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, part of what made him a gadol was that he wasn't only focused on the present. He recognized that, you know, the future needs leadership. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to know, now that I know from last week's parsha that I'm not going to finish this job, and there are hints to it in earlier also, right? We know Rashi already in Parsha Shmos already says, Shlach na biyatishlach, tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu alludes to the fact that he's not going to finish the job. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that... in Parachav Zion, you know, it takes him up. It's like even emotionally painful for us to listen to these psukim. Hashem says to Moshe, "Go up on the mountain and take a good look. See this land, but you won't go in." So again, we can't understand this as, oh, Hashem is like teasing him. Take a look. No. We assume that Moshe Rabbeinu would have wanted to at least to see it. At least to see it, but he couldn't go in. Kasha Marisim Pibim Nartsin Vechulu. And right after Hashem tells Moshe, go up and see it, but you're not going in, then we have the only time we have such a pasuk in the Torah, the Baal Torah points this out, Vaydaber Moshe El Hashem Lamar. The only time we have such a pasuk, Moshe says to Hashem, with a Vaydaber, a Lashon Kasha, Yifkor Hashem Elokei HaRuchos L'chol Basar. Hashem should appoint Elokei Haruchos, the God of spirits. Hashem should appoint someone, l'chol basar, ish al ho'eda, asher yetzi lefneim, asher yavo lefneim, a leader that will go out, that will come in, asher yotzim, asher yivim, v'lo tiyeh adas Hashem katzon asher'in lehem ro'em. Moshe Rabbeinu is worried about the future. He's not just worried about himself. What is this lashon of Elokei Haruchos? The God of spirits, please help us out. Rashi already alludes to us. Lama ne'amar, Rashi says, Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, galui v'yadua lefanecha. It's known in front of you. Daito shel kol echad ve'echad. You know, human beings are all so different, and everybody thinks differently. Ve'ein andomin zel azeh. Manei aleihem manhig. Appoint for them a leader. Sheyeh sovel kol echad ve'echad lefi daito. Appoint a leader that could deal with each of the congregants and each of the students. Elokei haruchos. So that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asked by Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look in the Tosefes Bracha, that's the Torah Tamimah's commentary, right, his name was Baruch HaLevi Epstein, right, Tosef, this is his Tosefes to the Torah Tamimah, the Tosefes Bracha. And his other sefer is called Baruch Sha'amar, right, his farm on Pirkei Avos and Haggadah and the Siddur. So it says the Tosefes Bracha here in source number 3. B'toar ze Elokei Aruchos, Tier Moshe es Hashem b'inyan Korach, Kamo Sha'amar, Elokei Aruchos, Moshe used this phrase back in Korach, when Hashem is asked by Moshe Rabbeinu to punish Vishom B'Yarno, and there we discuss why it's mentioned, but why is it mentioned here? The Efshel Afarish on line 6, he says, Mashem Esubar B'Mesechas Yoma. In the beginning of Mesechas Yoma, the Gemara tells us that, Ki ha'ish shahaya reish lakish, midaber imo bashuk, hayunostim lo iska, below Edim. Whoever Reish Lakish did business with, you didn't have to ask any kashas about. You know, Reish Lakish, he was a shrewd, I shouldn't say first, we'll get to that. He was an honest, obviously, someone who obviously was a judge of character, the Gemara assumed. So if you ever saw him doing business with somebody, you could do business with them. You could assume Reish Lakish already did the background checks. Because they were sure, who kosher, ruach, if Reish Lakish is talking to him, so then obviously he's a trustworthy man. This person won't deny hava. Even though the Gemara says you should never lend somebody money without proof, because then he can lead to problems in the future. With Reish Lakish, whoever Reish Lakish spoke to, it's fine. And ask the Tosefes Bracha, why Reish Lakish? V'diyaknu. Lama tafsu bazet dafkes shem Reish Lakish. Why is Reish Lakish the one? Ba'od shebevadai kol atanoim v'amoroim lo hayu mishtarim bashuk el imanashim yishar v'tamimim. All the tanoim and amoroim. What, Rabbi Yochanan? What, his Rebbe, his brother-in-law? All the other great rabbis of the time? Why dafka does the Gemara pick on Reish Lakish? He's the one that if you see him talking with somebody, you know, don't worry about having aid him for your loan. Asher kein derech hachacham mashleimim. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Nikiy hadash abi Yerushalayim, lo haya yoshim b'seuda, ela imkein yovdim imesiv imohem. They never sat down at a meal unless they knew. Right, in the days of old, there were different halachas about not benching with an Am Haaretz. We don't have some of those halachas today. But they were all zahir in this. And therefore, why dafka Reish Lakish? Imayu mishtamim ish bashuk bevada yodemihu. If they talk to somebody, they did business with somebody, so why is it, why dafka Reish Lakish? So said the Tosefes Bracha, and he classically pulls together chazals from all over to be able to explain the problem that he's dealing with. Ubiyarnu, he says, well, what's the most famous chazal? One of the most famous chazals of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is past the Gemara Bar Mitzia, where Rabbi Yochanan brought him back from. Even if somebody recognizes and thinks they know somebody's nature and positions, how do we know exactly for sure what's behind people's external veneer? Do we know for sure? Some people could put on a good show. Some people, you know, Rahman al-Itzlan, you know, show one thing, and, you know, everybody in the business world has experience with deals that they thought would be great and perfect, and, again, I don't really have such experience, but Baruch Hashem, but b'fiyam yidabir yo, but really any area. B'fiyam yidabru yo, sheru b'amunu b'kir b'mavonu mezima. Rahman al-Itzlan, I guess he had this in shul also sometimes, but, you know, people say one thing, and Reish Lakish was someone who had a keen insight into personality traits and people who maybe covered things up because of where Reish Lakish was. Aber Reish Lakish, kefisha yadua b'kares chayav, as we know, hayu yamim rabim chaver lecheveres listim. Noch lemachi resha, right? That was the comment that Reb Yochanan made, that he knows how to make the Gemar Malacha for weapons, but Reish Lakish had the background. But obviously he used it channel towards Avodas Hashem once he became back. He knew because he was in that crowd. Right, they ended up in the tragic end to that story. But Lefizeh, that's why Dafka Chazal pick on Reish Lakish. They pick on Reish Lakish as an example. Lefizeh Yabaki B'tive B'nei Adam. He knew people's natures. Umakir bara'asam v'tarmisam apnimius. Because he knew, yachad en tziviusam hamusteres. You couldn't get one past Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish knew he was the greatest because he was in that world. He was in that world. So says the Gemara, says the Torah Temima, v'lachein, top of the next page. Imhu haya mishtoyim ish pashuk. Bevada haya nochach bo lavetach. You could be sure ki hu yashar v'ne'eman b'chol derachav v'inyanav. You could know he was sure. He would be sure, and you could trust the person that he is talking to. So with that background and the idea that it's so difficult to fully recognize people's natures, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really, you're the only one. So you know what's behind. You know who would be the best leader. Elokei haruchos, you're the only one that ultimately knows the ruach of kol echad ve'echad. Maybe Reish Lakish is the best that we could find, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ratza Moshe lahagid kan lifnei Hashem. Moshe wants to say, Va'amar, hein maniga eida bevadei tzarech lias yashar v'neman, b'chol derachav v'b'chol inyanav. The manig, the leader, has to be straight. Ki anhigam b'derach yishara unachocha. V'lo yata darkahu. He has to be straight, and the tzibur has to follow him. Aval hein ein lo ish kisharon lahakir b'ruchos b'nei adam. But if he doesn't have the ability, if he's, you know, a leader, you know, the naivete that might be good for a child, when somebody's a leader, they need to recognize. They have to have a certain tzmimus, but also a certain hakara of the nature of people. Rak ata Hashem ashincha yodei aruchos kol basar ata teda betach mi haroi lazeh. So you know behind the scenes who the best leader would be. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need you to help us out to be able to appoint the next leader. And of course, Yoshua ben Nun was appointed as the next leader, and he takes upon himself all of the mantle of leadership. So number one, we learn from the Eilat Dvarim, leaders have to be leaders in all venues, in all areas, right? The Milchama, Shah Shalom. Number two, leaders have to try to understand the people. Have to know what's making them tick, what's behind, their situations, and recognize the personalities. Dig deep to understand the constituents. And Moshe Rabbeinu did his best in terms of this, and that's what he was davening for leadership. And finally, the third idea that we'll start off with leadership is going back to the days of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Bachai. Right? Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos. Remember, what Moshe Rabbeinu, every phrase that he says here in Chav Zayin Tez Zayin is a request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar Ish Al Ha'eda. Right? That was the first, we just spoke about that. Next pasuk, Asher Yetzi Lifnehem V'Asher Yavo Lifnehem. That will go in front of them and will come in front of them. So Rashi already says it, but Rabbeinu Bachai expands on it. Right? What does Rashi say? Lo kederach malchei ha'umos sheyoshvim bebateihem umishalchet es chayolosei lamilchama. Not like the kings of the other nations that sit in their homes and send their soldiers. Ela kemosha asisi ani. No, like I did. Shenilchamti b'sichun ba'og, Moshe says, because Hashem told him, Al tira oso, ukederech sha'asi Yoshua, v'chein b'david, yoti b'rosh v'nichras b'rosh. But that's, again, Rabbeinu Bachai emphasizes this, again, the same thing that Rashi quotes, but I'll just, he just says it with an extra phrase. Lo al yedei acher. Right, that's how our armies run. Baruch Hashem, our army today, in our Tzva Haganah Yisrael, it's the Rachman al-Itzlan, we've lost many, but it's the mafaktim that go first. It's acharai, because that's leadership. Leadership goes first. V'lo kamalchei ha'umos. I'm going to sit here with my security and secret service surrounding me. You know, I'll stay inside. No, if somebody's a leader, a military leader, then you go first. Kemosha asisi ani, again, it's expanding from Rashi, but he just quotes the psukim and emphasizes it. That's what Moshe did, that's what Yoshua did, and that's what David did. It's amazing. Moshe and Yoshua, we assume, they're the Gdolei Ador. They were also the military leaders. They went out and fought. It's not a stira to be a Gadol Batorah and to be a military leader. That's what all of these greats. There's a great Tosefta. There's one line in the Tosefta in Sanhedrin, in the third or the fourth parak, where the Tosefta says, we know, maybe one of the more well-known psukim that talks to us about devoting our time to Torah, V'yigisa b'yom v'alayla, lo yom v'sefer Torah zemi picha, that was said to Yoshua, beginning of his Sefer Yoshua. It was said to Yoshua, and one would think that Yoshua, he was arguably the busiest person in the history of the Jewish people, arguably. He was the Gadol Ador, giving shir, and he had to be the military leader. He had the status of the king, right? The Makor Amor B'Malchus is learned out from the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, and he had to split up the whole country. Imagine how many people were, and we only know of one Shevet that came to him upset, but imagine splitting up the country, Kibush V'chiluk, and to him was commanded V'gisa B'yom V'layla. There's no excuse. Right? Yoshua ben Nun was extremely busy, and yet this is what is commanded him. So again, this is another aspect of leadership that leadership, leaders go first. Okay. Moving right along. So we have in the second half of the Parsha, we have the Karbanos. As we know, the second of three Parshas HaMoadim. Emor, Pinchas and Re'eh. Each of them a different emphasis. Emor is the first parshas Hamoadim, and it has to do with the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are mentioned, sukkah and lulav, all the mitzvahs except for shofar. Shofar is this week's parsha, but this week's parsha is the musafin, which is interesting what shofar is doing there. And then in Re'eh, we have the connection of Aliyah L'Regel, but each of the Chagim. So we have here the first carbon, obviously, is the carbon Tamid. As we know, one of the five reasons that we just fasted this week for Shavuos B'Tammuz was because the Tamid stopped, as the Mishnah says, in Maseches Titus. But we have the carbon Tamid. Zakeves Achat Taseva Boker, Ve'zakeves Hasheni Taseh Bein Ho'arbayim. Rav Salvechik here in Source Number 6 quotes a Machlokes, not as well known as some of the other ones, a machlokas between the Tzdukim and the Prushim, about this pasuk, about the carbon tamid. The Tzdukim, from the fact that it says, ta'aseh, it's a kevzachat ta'aseh v'boker, the Tzdukim assume that the carbon tamid was a chovas hayachid. It was singular. Ta'aseh, obligatory on the individual. While the Prushim maintained that, no, carbon sibur. Right? Lahakrav li b'mo ado tishmeru. It's plural. And the Gemara in Tainus Daf Yud Zayin mentions, as the list there, a lot of the celebrations of the days of the Megillus Tainus, that the first 8 days of Nisan were considered a minor holiday, right? Asur behespid, because of the Prushim, that we won this battle. We won this battle. And the question Rav Salvechik asked is, why is this one so significant? Right? We know every machlokas with the Tzukim and the Prushim, it wasn't just about a letter or a word or a pasuk. There was some symbolism to it. Right? There's a different understanding of Shabbos. If you say Al Yetzi Yishbim Komo and Lo Savar Yishbim Komo Shvosechem, you can't light a fire. You can't have fire in your house on Shabbos and you have to stare at your tzitzis all day. Right? That's there's something behind that. Mimachras haShabbos. There's symbolism to each of the machlokos. So what's the symbolism here? That the Tzdukim said, the Karbet Tamid is a Chovas HaYachid, while the Prushim, we hold, that it's a Chovas HaTzibur. Says Rev Salvechik, it is because, and why was this reason for Simcha, for a holiday, when we won this battle? So it is because, in reality, this dispute centered on a fundamental principle of our belief system. The Tzdukim maintained that just as the carbon tamid was a carbon yachid, all mitzvahs are yachid, able to make decisions about. I can interpret mitzvahs. I could interpret and decree my own way of avodas Hashem. I could do it, you know, chovas hayachid. Yeah, God obligates me, but there's flexibility in terms of how and when and why and if, and even if. The Prushim argued that all Israel stood at Mount Sinai collectively, and thus all mitzvahs are incumbent upon each individual. No, there's something called the Chovas HaTzibur. You're part of a klal. Not just do whatever you want. Right? There are rules of the game. Right? It is for this reason that a subsequent verse, what does it say? Right? We say this every morning. Those, hopefully, even if those don't say all of the karbanos in the morning, in Ezel Makoman, at least the Karban Tamid. That's the most important paragraph in those 8 pages that often people skip. The most important paragraph is this paragraph, the Karban Tamid. So later on, Olas Tamid, the Ola of the Karban Tamid, Ho'asuya Bahar Sinai. That was made at Har Sinai. L'Reach Nichoach Yishal Hashem. What's Har Sinai doing there? We think about that. The Karban Tamid, Ho'asuya Bahar Sinai. So Rashi already notes, Ka'osan Shena'asu B'Mam Iluim. It's like the ones from back there. Or Hekish Olas Tamid Olas Har Sinai, Osa Sheniskarva Lefnei Matan Torah. So we compare it to teach me that you need a klishares. Okay, what are we mentioning Har Sinai for? So Rav Salvechik explains, the Torah emphasizes that the Tamid offering reminds us daily about the revelation at Mount Sinai and the imperatives for Klal Yisrael associated with that revelation. You know what the Karban teaches me? There's a concept called Sibur. There's a concept called Chovas HaTzibur. We're part of a Klal. We're part of a group. Just as the Karban Tamid belongs to every individual Jew, but Machzah Shekel, but it becomes, it forms a group together, so too every individual accepted the Torah. Right? Rav Salvechik, also others I think, but in the beginning of Al HaTshuva, Rav Salvechik writes about the difference between Tzibur and Shutfin. There's a difference. In Alumdis, in halachic terms, we have numerous examples in halacha of joint bailus, of joint ownership. We have shutfis partners, right? We have tzibur, which has no real parallel in the world. Tzibur, shutfis, we have something called tfusas abayis, children after their father dies. Now, partners, but they're not a tzibur, right? That's a different category. There's all different types of category. So Rav Soloveitchik explains, tzibur and shutfin are different, and there's even difference in halacha. For example, a karban mincha. A karban mincha can be brought by a yachid or by the tzibur, but not by shutfin. Right? One person can bring the karban mincha, and then, I know, the karban ha-omer is a karban mincha of the tzibur. Right? The shtei halachim brought on shruis is a mincha of the tzibur. But three people can't bring a karban mincha together, because there's a difference between tzibur. Tzibur, individual realities and positions are lost because of the sum. The tzibur is greater than the sum of its parts. Shutfin, everybody keeps their own identity and their partners, and they still, you might even say, how when each partner uses in a chatzer, you know, they're each using their own part, so use a brera. Well, tzibur, there are no individuals. They started as individuals, but they form one conglomerate of Avdei Hashem, of tzibur. Says Rav Soloveitchik, that's what the tzdukim couldn't understand. What do you mean tzibur? You know, I'm me, I could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I can make decisions, and I can do what I want. And then he quotes in the continuation, regarding Olas Tamido Asiyah Bahar Sinai, towards the end of source number 6, he quotes a Medrash HaNe'elam, that the Rabbi Akiva had a conversation with the Chachamim about the Karban Tamid, about this phrase of Har Sinai. And the Chachamim answered Rabbi Akiva that once the Karban was offered at Har Sinai, it continued regularly afterwards. And there are Karbanos in every generation. Since the generation of Har Sinai, and the Chachamim were even alluding to Rabbi Akiva that he was going to be a Karban Tamid. That he was going to be. In their answer, the Chachamim explained to Rabbi Akiva that just as the acceptance of the Torah was accompanied by obligatory sacrifices, the transmission and preservation of Torah from generation to generation also requires sacrifices, alluding to Rabbi Akiva himself. So this is the Tzdukim and the Prushim that we have here. Again, the rejection of even Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. Right, maybe it goes back to that also, that Stukim couldn't fathom what that means. An ultimate achdus based on Torah, ki ish echad v'lev echad, because if you just believe in Torah shebichsav and our Torah shebal peh, it's much more flexible. It's much more, do whatever you want. Torah shebal peh requires fealty to Mesorah. Torah shebal peh requires unifying the hearts behind Chazal, and they weren't ready for that. And that's, every time we say, Asuya Bahar Sinai every morning, we should think about, we're part of a tzibur. We're going back to Har Sinai. Okay, moving right along to the next karban. So we have the karban tamid. And then we have Ubiyom HaShabbos, Shnei Chvasim and Yashana Timimim. We have two sheep, Ushnei Asronim, Solas, Mincha B'lu HaVashem HaMeniska, Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato, Al Ola, and the karban Ola on Shabbos is brought Al Ola Satamid. It's brought Al Ola Satamid V'Niska in addition to the karban tamid. Of course, we know that pasuk teaches me the principle of Tadir Sheino Tadir, right? That Karban Tamid comes first, Olas Shabbos, Al Olas HaTamid. So we have Tamid, and then we have Shabbos. And then we have Rosh Chodesh, as we will see. If you look in the Das HaKenim, the Ber Yosef here in source number 7, quotes the Das HaKenim from the Baalei HaTosfos, who quote the following. Das HaKenim often quotes Midrashim. Some we have, some we don't. Isa B'Shocher Tov, B'chol HaMusafim, Lo Timsa Musaf Muad Kashabbos. The set of karbanos for the Musaf on Shabbos is the smallest out of all the karbanos. All the other holidays have a lot more, many more animals. The aldavar zeh kara Shabbos tagar l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos was upset. Shabbos came to Hashem and said, it's not fair. We have a couple of midrashim like this. Shabbos says, it's not fair, I don't have a pair. Or the midrash is the beginning of Vayakel. Sunday has Monday, Tuesday has Wednesday, Thursday has Friday. Shabbos, what about me? Don't worry, you have the Jewish people. You have the Jewish people, they'll have Shabbos afternoon shiurim, and that's why it's Vayakel Moshe. So, that's one time that Shabbos complains. Here's another one. Shabbos says, it's not fair, I have less animals. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hinei zeu karban musuf hara'uy lecha. No, this is the most appropriate karban musaf for you. Why? Why is this? What does Shabbos have? Shabbos has shnei chvasim. Right, Shnei Chvasim Tamimim. Lefisha Kol Masecha Kfulim. Says Hashem to Shabbos, because all of your actions, all of your involvements are kafful. Shir kafful. Shneamar Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos. You have an extra song. Oneg kafful. Shneamar Vakarasa LaShabbos Oneg for the Kedosh Hashem Mechubad. Pasuk in Yishayo. Onsho kafful. Mechalaleha Mos Yumas. Lechem, everything's double. Lechem kaful. Lechem mishnah. Right, a double portion. So everything is double. Everything is double. I think everything's also seven also. There's a lot to do with sevens and Shabbos, obviously. A lot of gematrias about the seven. But obviously, too, everything is double. Lefichach roi karbish olios kaful. So it's most appropriate that your carbon is kaful, that your carbon is double. And that's what we say every Shabbos morning. There's one word in the Musaf. Did we ever think about it? Lahakriv ba korban musa Shabbos karaui, as appropriate. We don't have that word on Yontif. What Shabbos is the most appropriate? Why don't we say musaf? Every korban is appropriate for the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it. That word karaui is alluding to this medrash. When Shabbos wanted more, and Hashem says, no, this is perfect. This is perfect. You have two. That's exactly what is appropriate for you. Mashalo nelmar b'chol hamusafin. Says the Be'er Yosef. Says the Be'er Yosef. So Shabbos is double. We have to recognize. Neshama Yaseira. I'll add that one. Right? We have a double. We have our regular neshama, our weekday neshama, and our extra neshama, neshama Yaseira, also has to do with being double. The Be'er Yosef says, I have another idea to show the chavivus of Shabbos and these karbanos. The Efshar Ode on line 14. Shabbala horos yikras erech hashivus hakarbat shalabus of Shabbos. Another pshat for karaui, or Rav Yosef Misalant. Again, number one is this medrash. Number two is the following: the Gemara Pesachim Daf Samaches, Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon, Bo Re'ei Kama Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Look how beloved is a mitzvah in its proper time. Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Why? Shahare Hector. How do you know that the karbanos of Shabbos are so special? Shahare Hector Chalavim Ve'Varim Ubedarim Ksherim Kol Alayla. We know that when you bring a karban any day, you're allowed to burn the fats and the limbs throughout the following night. Throughout the following night, right? That's Ma'ariv, right? The first mission in Shas. Hector chalom evarim, it's vazon ashiyalam on a shachar. You can burn it at night. So the kasha kol alayla. And yet, what do we do? Shabbos, we bring the carbon tamid. We burn the fats and the limbs on Shabbos. On Shabbos. Malacha! Malacha, whether it's the skinning or the cutting or the... There's a lot of malachas that are taking place when we're burning. But the Gemara says, it's okay. Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato al Olas HaTamid. On the Shabbos. Shatora kasva Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato. V'lo Olas Chol b'Shabbos. Al Karchak da miyutu al Eivar b'Durim d'Chol. You're not allowed to burn leftover fats and limbs of a weekday on Shabbos. But why? Because Avar Zmano. But Eivar B'Darim Shalchol Aser. But the Eivar B'Darim of Shabbos. Line 27. Makdirim B'Shabbos Av She'ef Shalakdirim B'Chol. Right? Even though you could... Why? Because Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. Because a mitzvah in its appropriate L'Chadchila time, that's something that is very beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just parenthetically, in brackets, Rav Asher Weiss has an article where he talks about four similar principles that sometimes he says Rishonim and Achronim use interchangeably, but he says in Chazal, they're meduyak. Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, zriza makdim ala mitzvahs, ein maviren ala mitzvahs, mitzvah baliyat chal tachvitzena. Right, those are four similar principles, but each one has a different meaning. Zriza Makdimin is not Chaviv Mitzvah B'Shaita. There's a L'Charchila time of doing something, and a B'Dievet time of doing something. Do it in the L'Charchila time. Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita. He says, and that's maybe what is alluded to in that Karaui. Do it Karaui. You could even be Makdir the extras of the Karban of Shabbos, which you didn't have to do on Shabbos. You could do tonight. But the karbanos in the proper time are beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, it's hard for us to fathom. We know the whole world of karbanos seems strange to us and foreign. But again, the more we study the details, the more we can try to appreciate the symbolism of every karban. V'zeo she'tiknu lomar b'tfila, azmi sinai nistabu aleha, ala Shabbos. For this tevinu gam lahakrav carbon musaf Shabbos. For lo rak etzema carbon, not just the carbon itself. Ela afilu hahaktara shef shalatir balayla. Even the haktara, the burning gam al zen is tevinu latir b'Shabbos. Also that, and that's the karaui. Right, masheroi la carbon even the haktara sevarim v'patarim. So what's karaui? Either it's the double, right? The medrash karaui. Everything's double on Shabbos. Or number two, everything having to do with the carbon, even the Hakdara Seymurin, that also is allowed and encouraged on Shabbos. Good. So we spoke about the Talmud. We spoke about Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. Next carbon. Uvarashe Chadsheichem, says the Pasuk. On Rosh Chodesh, we also have carbonos. Takriva Olo Lashem. Rosh Chodesh is a very, I would even say, mysterious day. Rav Soloveitchik once gave a hesped for someone, and he called him Rosh Chodesh Man. Why Rosh Chodesh Man? Rosh Chodesh doesn't have Issur Melacha. We drive, we go to work, we don't. There's no Chiyuv Seuda, but we say Hallel as a minhag, and we Musaf. There's something about Rosh Chodesh. There's something inside that it's a special day, but it's just not on the outside. There's something inside in his chachos. That's what he said with Rosh Chodesh. So if you look in the pasuk, though, this is the only day that's called yours. Uvarashe chad sheichem. It's your Rosh Chodesh. Right? All the other days just describes the day. On the first day of Pesach, and the last day of Pesach, and of Yom HaBikurim, and Rosh Hashanah. And here it says, on your Rosh Chodesh. Uvarashe chad sheichem. Says the Svarno. We don't do enough Svarno. The Svarno is often cryptic. And it says a lot in a few words. Again, there's a svarim that open up the svarno. Again, the Meshech Chachma of Cooperman points out that often Meshech Chachmas are based on svarnos. But let's see this svarno where he has something major in source number 8. And I gave you the footnotes of Rabbi Cooperman's svarno also in the next couple of sources to help us out with the svarno. Uvrashe Chachechem, Hine Yom Rosh Chodesh. Hayaminag liYisrael sheyia yom kodesh b'tzadma. Says the Sfarno, right, 800 years ago, that there's a minag of Klal Yisrael. It's not obligated. It's a minag to treat Rosh Chodesh special. So what is that about, right? Sheyia yom kodesh b'tzadma. There's something that Klal Yisrael, Chai Yisrael do. Right, you see in the footnote number 4 for a minute. Lu'umas ha-chagim shechovatam aleinu ba milamala, kishar mitzvah satorah. Unlike the chagim, where the chiyav to observe them is from above, hari Rosh Chodesh b'yusad al sarusa delatata. But Rosh Chodesh is really from below. Right, there's no obligation of malacha on yozmatam shel b'nei Yisrael be'avodas Hashem. So Rosh Chodesh symbolizes our doing something. But what is it? What's the symbolism that we act in a special way? As the Pasuk says, the end of Shmuel Aleph, where David and Yehonasan, that's the Haftorah for Machar Chodesh. You weren't there on the day of the Ma'aseh. And that's Rosh Chodesh. That's what they call it, the day of the Ma'aseh. I'm sorry, the Yom Ma'aseh was the before, so, you know, the Rosh Chodesh wasn't the Yom HaMaaseh. They stayed home, and there was some way they treated it special. That's why it's called yours, Rosh Chodeshem, not Rosh Chodesh. V'lo kein kasav b'moadim, v'lo kasav b'Shabbes Shabbatchem, v'lo b'yom bikureichem, b'yom sukoseichem. Doesn't say that. Only Rosh Chodesh. So what is it? So says the Sfarno. And this relates to many sources which talk about the parallel between the Jewish people and the moon. We know Rosh Chodesh has to do with the moon. Right? We go, the Mar months are lunar. You know, our success in this world has to do with exactly the moon's success, so to speak, in how it shines. Asher ein la ba'atzma or klal zulasi masher dekabo mizulasa. We know, obviously, the moon does not have any light of its own. The moon's light is reflective. It just depends on its connection to the sun. The more it's connected to the sun, the more it's open to the sun, the more it's facing the sun,
So then there's more light seen in the moon.
Says the Sfarno, it's the same thing. Let me just say it outside. It's the same thing with Klal Yisrael. We're like the moon. We reflect the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more we're connected or facing or looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more light shines. The more light shines. Before the Egel, says the Sfarno, as other Mefarshim say, maybe before the Egel was different. Maybe we had certain independent light before the Egel. But he named Misha Chatu his Natzlu. But once we sinned, we had to remove our Nasev and Ishma crowns, whatever those were. Velosh Tamshu Bekesser Malchus Tamid, Kemoshara Umos. But it just depended, all of a sudden, it went to, well, it depends how much we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval Hayazelem Le'itim Kefi Shefa Ha'ara Elyon Aleihem. Ubiladav, and without this connection, when the moon is totally covered, there's no light, when Klal Yisrael, when we are distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no light shining, Ubiladav Halchu Chasheichem Ve'ein Noga Lamo, Kamo Sheyikra La'Lavana Kishalo Tekabal Ar HaShemesh. When the moon is not connected, so that's also with us when we're not connected. That's why, right, the Navi calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu, skip down a few lines, Ar Yisrael. The light of the Jewish people, right? That's the name of the Sefer of Yisrael Salanter. But Ar Yisrael, right? Hashem is our Ar. Hashem Ori V'Yish'i, right? We say in L'David Hashem Ori. And therefore, on the top of the left, Kasher Hayu Chatoim Avdilim, when the sins separate us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then we're dark. We're not shining. Holchu Hasheichem Uvuhalim Uduchufin Beina Umos. It's only when we have the light shining. What's Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh. We're distant. Rosh Chodesh symbolizes there's no light from the moon. You can't see the moon. That's the day that we take upon ourselves. No. We're going to focus. We're going to take Rosh Chodesh and we're going to act. We're going to treat it something special. Because why? It's a recognition that even if we're distant and our sins are separating us, we're going to fight back. We're going to get that light back. We're going to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and do everything we can. It's your Rosh Chodesh. Kodesh Baruch Hu was alluding to the fact of what Klal Yisrael are going to do with it. It's not my initiative, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Just like the moon is dark, but now it's going to start getting, not closer, but lighter again from day one. So too, you know, it's Klal Yisrael. We say we want to get closer. We want to get more light. Because when it's dark, as he says in the continuation, there's a Chilul Hashem. Right? It's dark and there's no light. But when it comes to Klal Yisrael's behavior, we try to do our best to get it back. And he says that's what's the Gemara, again, a Gemara that many Pshatim are given for. What does it mean? The Gemara says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to bring a carbon chatos on Rosh Chodesh, shemi'atati esayareach. It also relates to that, he says in the Hemshech. But that's the Svarno. Again, Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh symbolizes the moon being distant from the sun. Klal Yisrael, we're distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we don't do the right thing, but we take it upon ourselves to right the wrong and get the light back, and that's why it's called Barashay Chadsheichem. And again, you have it in the footnotes there as well. I'd like to finish with two thoughts, which we've mentioned in Yontif Shiurim, but I don't know if I ever mentioned it in Parshas Pinchas. And that's on Shofar. Right, we know this week is the Parsha of Yom Tru'a Yelachem, Uvachodesh Ashvi, Perachav Tes Pasuk Aleph. Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, Kamalech Hazavod Elosaso, Yom Tru'a Yelachem. We have the mitzvah of shofar. A day of blowing shofar. Yom Tru'a Yelachem. The question that's asked by the Mefarshim is, there are many rayas, which we're not going to go into the rayas now, that shofar is not just a maisa mitzvah like other maisa mitzvahs, like eating matzah, tzitzis, but shofar is a form of tefillah. It's the only mitzvah that we do in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. You're not allowed to do anything in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. There's even a discussion in the poskim why you're allowed to hold a sitter. Right? Why you're allowed to hold anything? But okay, tzarech davening. But you can't hold the Sefer Torah during Shmoneh Esrei. You can't do anything during Shmoneh Esrei. Only shofar. Right? So it must be that shofar is not a hefsek, is not a stira. Right? Also, I mean, we say it. We say at the end of every one of each of the special brachas, Hashem is mevin umazin. Lekolt kiasenu. He understands. Maven. Umazin. You don't understand matzah. Hashem sees us doing matzah.
So shofar is a tefillah. Again, there are other ayahs, but it's a tefillah without words. So what is it? Why is it on Rosh Hashanah that we demand and we do a tefillah without words? Well, it's enough. We daven long enough, right? We have nine brachas. Davening is long enough. What do we have to have the shofar for, which is a tefillah without words, which adds? So there's a, I didn't give it to you, but there's a Shemi Shmuel that we're not going to do right now. But there are two thoughts of Rav Soloveitchik that you have there in 12 and 13 and in 14. So two different thoughts. So number one, says Rav Soloveitchik in Yemezi Karon. Now, when we daven, well, let's ask it this way. Right before we leave shul, we always say Aleinu. Aleinu Shabbat HaDonok, a beautiful tefillah, very powerful. The Gemara says it's so important. The only part of davening like this, right? If you walk into shul and they're saying Aleinu, you have to say it with them. You ever think about that? You don't have to do that by Yotzer HaMa'oros. You don't have to do that by Ashrei, right? Only by Aleinu. It's so important. So ask the Mefarshim, Aleinu l'shabeach la'adon kol. It's upon me to praise Hashem. That's a beautiful tefillah. Shouldn't that be the first tefillah of davening? It's incumbent upon me to praise Hashem. And now let me do it. What Aleinu l'shabeach la'adon kol? Goodbye. Right? As we leave, we say Aleinu l'shabeach. So Soloveitchik explains what he called Aleinu is the matir of leaving shul. Right? That's whenever we leave shul, we say that. Right, on Yom Kippur, we don't say Aleinu the whole day because technically we should be in shul all day. But so what? How does it function as that? Because really, when we finish davening, let's ask ourselves a question: are we finished? Like we asked Hashem for enough things, like we're done. There's nothing else to ask God. We thanked Him enough. You know, we used all of our vocabulary. We're done. We don't have to thank Him anymore. We don't have to beseech Him anymore. We're done. We're finished. Of course not. It never ends. Really, there's no end to our asking, to our beseeching, to our thanking. So, how are we allowed to leave? So we say Aleinu as a recognition, as if Hashem, we really have to do more, but we're human beings. So we acknowledge it with the Aleinu at the end of davening. That's also why some say we say Adon Olam and Yigdal at the end of davening. Also, it's as if we have to start again. As if like, okay, Adon Olam Asher Malach. Says Rav Soloveitchik, and again, there's right, is that you can never finish the Gemara in Brachas. Remember the person that went to daven in front of the Shul of Rabbi Hanina, and he added on 25 adjectives. Siyamtinu kol hashivcha demarech. You can never finish. So on Rosh Hashanah, we don't want to take any chances. On Rosh Hashanah, you know what we do? We use a lot of our words, and then we blow shofar. You know what the shofar is? Dot dot dot. Hashem, we can't finish, but you know, you finish for us. So that's the tefillah without words. Says Rav Soloveitchik, says that's what it is, because you know we can never finish, right? On line 11, Im siyuma shel tefila ba'adam l'chal maskana shekemaf lo ispalel. When we finish davening, we realize we didn't daven. V'chima yasa us. What should we do? Yachzer al dvar. We should daven again and daven again and daven again and daven again. So what are we supposed to do? So you know, what do? We start crying. We're like, what are we supposed to do? Humaskal afeta livko so lingoach. So we just groan. That's the shofar. It's the, we can never finish. So please finish for us. One idea. There's a second idea. Similar but very different. And that's in 13 and 14, where Soloveitchik says, right, we daven and we ask for certain things, but do we really know that this is the best thing for us? We daven for a certain position. We daven for a certain shidduch. We daven for a certain matana. And we're davening, and I don't know, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows this is not the best thing for me. We don't always know, you know, what's the best for us. Ve'ein adam yachol lakir es matzavo al nachon, b'chdei leida be'emes ba'an ma'alavakesh. Ki harbivam muchoshev, many times I think that this is good for me, and Hashem knows. That's what we say every day, Hashem v'kabel b'rachamim uveratzon es tefilaseinu. Not just kabel. If it's good for me, if not, feel free to ignore. Right? We don't know for sure. Rav Soloveitchik even says, very personally, you have that in source 14, he says, you don't know how much I davened, how hard I davened, that I shouldn't have to leave Berlin in the 1930s. How much I davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I shouldn't have to go to the Treif of Medina, and I could stay in Europe, and Baruch Hashem didn't listen to my tefillot, and I ended up in Boston. Says Rav Soloveitchik, I was davening for one thing, but who knows? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that wasn't the best thing for me. So on Rosh Hashanah, we don't want to take any chances. You know what we say? We daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with words, and then we blow shofar as if to say, Hashem, you fill in the blank. Because we don't know exactly what's best for us, so you fill in. You know what's good for us. So first idea is, you finish for us. Dot, dot, dot. And this is, you fill in the blank for us. Two different ideas, but both about why on Rosh Hashanah. We don't take any chances. We want to dive in the tefillah. Shofar is tefillah yom trua yelachem. As we start, we're starting the process. This, you know, it's always a little scary at this time of year because we think we have 10 weeks until Rosh Hashanah. Right? We have 3 weeks. We have the Shlosha de Paranusa, and then we have the Shiva de Nechemta. So it's 10 weeks until Shabbat Shuvah. So, Be'ez Hashem, we should be zochet to get ready, get ready. It's never too early to get ready. For Rosh Hashanah, maybe that's why Pinchas is here, right? Yom Shura Yelachem. Hashem, we should be zochet to hear the sound of the shofar, not just the shofar that we're going to blow, but the shofar of Geula, B'mheira, B'yameinu.